Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Well, greetings, my friends from all over the world. My name is Maarten Horst. I'm the host of ET First Contact Radio, the program that brings you the latest galactic news 3 times a week. If you're listening from the Americas, Africa, Asia, Australia, it doesn't matter. We are all connected. We are celestial. We are cosmic starseeds. And even if you are an ET energy listening in via the Galactus, the galactic internet that is now coming to play, because our earthly internet will be connected with the galactic internet, welcome to the program. And my guest today is Judith Dadley from the Celestial Team. The background of Judith: she was born to hold the frequencies of the planet during a very dark and dangerous time. Then, once stabilized, to assist in raising them. She was the daughter of a veteranian, a professional actor for 20 years, then became and still is a licensed psychotherapist, a shamanic practitioner and a channel. She gradually learned while growing up and through early adulthood that she communicated with animals and plants. She is an empath, an intuitive, and finally, about 10 years ago, she became a clear gnostic. That means to communicate with energy itself. She began consciously channeling when she was dying. The 9-dimensional Pleiadian collective came through to remind her to save her life by changing the energy template of the physical body. And so she did, which was the beginning of her huge paradigm shift. So without further ado, Judith, I want to heartfully welcome you to my program.
Well, thank you, Maarten. I'm very glad to be here. And I say hello to everyone who's listening too. Very glad you're joining us. It's really nice to be with all of you. So thanks again, Maarten.
Thank you for being here, Judith. And why don't you start by telling about the Celestial Team and what they are doing and what they are telling you right now, especially in the times we live in, because I want to know what's going on behind the scenes.
Don't we all?
Yes.
And it keeps changing all the time, because everything is energy, right? And energy is always in relationship with itself and always, therefore, responding, receiving, communicating, moving, morphing, and never more than now. And we are made of energy, and we're part of it. And now in these new energies we're in, that is only going to become more and more obvious. So that's a big question, Martin, that you asked. Profound indeed. I can say that once I started channeling the celestial team, gradually began to form. And, you know, since we don't know what we know until we know it, I didn't half the time know what was happening. I'd have to kind of feel my way through energetically, which I, of course, then learned I could. And the celestial team is, they're right here. It's a huge, fluid group of collectives from the 6th through, they say, the 13th dimension. And they come through me in, they braid or all come together. Or sometimes a collective will do what I call a little solo. And it's amazing. And they asked me to start to go public, quote unquote, with them I'd say December 2010, when all of a sudden I heard, okay, we're going to put a group on Facebook, call it Love Light Messages for Navigating Now from the Celestial Team. And I'd never even been on Facebook, let alone put a group up, right? So the whole thing was scary, just the exposure and the abruptness. But I'll tell you, within 25 minutes, that group was up on Facebook. And the point of it then was to introduce people to frequencies, because the celestial team's frequencies they're very, very fizzy, is what I call them. You can feel them. And so they would talk about how to tune in through the heart center to feel frequencies so that people could feel the frequencies, which people loved feeling. And so people got used to the idea that they could attune to frequencies. That was sort of the foundation for beginning to communicate more and more through frequencies with people. Mm-hmm. And the whole point is that we're made of frequencies.
Yes, we are.
That's what the whole reason was, to prepare us for 12-21-12, then the recalibrating we've been going through since then, and to begin to operate as beings of frequency now. Because that is essential now in the new energy we're in. And we're all going to find that out sooner or later, easily or more challengingly, right?
Right.
So right now we're very available to people through a lot of venues that we're, anything we can, you know, our YouTube channel from the Celestial Team and their Facebook page and my own page on Facebook and our two websites and the telegatherings we do online. In any way we can, it just feels like this is actually a choice point for us.
It is.
As humans. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Oh, good.
We are now at a crossroads, aren't we?
At a cross point?
I think we are at a very crucial cross point right now.
We are. We are. Indeed we are.
Can you describe the scenario that if we don't act now, how it will play out? And
okay, go on, sorry.
And what can the galactics do? What can the celestials do to intervene in the earthly affairs, so that there will be a positive change?
Okay. That is a big question. And the way I'm taking it in or feeling how to respond is that it's a two-part for me. You asked me why now is so important, and then what the celestials can do, right? So let me address the first one. Now is a very juicy choice time, because you see, we entered, everything I'm saying is through my perspective, let me just pause and say, and my multidimensional information and everything that has to do with being me. So if anything I say does not resonate, just anyone who's listening, just let that one go and take in what does resonate. You see, because resonance now, what resonates for you is what you need to hear. Mm. Nothing that doesn't. So anyway, now is a culmination of a process of preparation that we human celestial beings have been going through for quite a while, since the 60s actually. But a major point, of course, was 12-21-12, when energetically we shifted our planet as well into a sector of space that was the shift into a higher, much higher octave of frequency. The reason many of us didn't perceive it very much was because we weren't up to speed with our own frequencies to be able to perceive it. Reality is a matter of perception. Perception is the result of one's frequencies. You see, somebody, say, in the third dimension, something might happen, and in from a third dimensional perspective, it would look one way. From a fifth dimensional perspective, it would be an entirely different experience. So it's been our process of shifting within ourselves to get up to speed, you might say, with where we've moved into. We've been doing that ever since, through 2011, we were doing a lot of recalibrating to prepare for 2012. After 2012, we began to recalibrate very viscerally, even internally, up to this point. And then the first third of 2015, it's been like the last spinning point of finishing that recalibration process. Mm-hmm. So anybody who does not feel that it's different, it means that you're just not in the difference yet. And we all are or aren't to some degree. And it keeps intensifying and expanding. So this particular point in time, you might say, you could say it's fourth dimensional. It's very fluid, very malleable. It's where we get to practice getting up to speed with our frequencies. And we can actually flip from third to fifth dimensional perception, experiencing of reality, very quickly, right here. I do it all the time. I mean, I can be in a sort of activated, depressed, or resistant state to something, and then switch. And it is my experience of myself and reality will change in a minute. Now, that's what we can do. It's kind of like optical illusions. You know, there was that famous one, the lady or the witch. You'd look at it and it would be a witch, and then you just decide to shift your perception and you'd see a beautiful lady. That is the technological practice that is useful for us now, is to notice how we can do that in this fourth dimensional range of this octave that we're in. And the reason is because, say, September of this year, we'll be leaving that range. And the choices and the practicing and decisions we come to now about what we want to choose, because we are sovereign, mm-hmm. Will then begin to spread out in what we used to call timelines. So you could figure now is this choice point, like this circle where everything is possible. And then as we choose a timeline. Okay, this is what I am. This is what I want things to be like, right? So then all of them then radiate outward from this choice point. Okay, so right now in this space, as I said, it's very easy to jump from one to the other and try them all out in a nanosecond. Now, but imagine as they continue to radiate outward like spokes on a wheel. Eventually, you got to really leap to make a jump from one to the other. Eventually, they look very far away. Eventually, you cannot see the others at all. That is why this is an important time. Is that clear?
For me, it's 111% clear, Judith.
Okay. Now, as for what the celestials can do for us, well, the celestials do a lot for us because actually there's no separation. In this new energy, you can perceive that there's no separation. Mm-hmm. They are part of us. We are part of them. Any information, guidance we receive from an aspect in a higher dimension, we're also in that collective that we're connecting with. Mm-hmm. So they will help. They always, it's like not even a they. It's like that part of us always is there to help us the minute you call on them. Mm-hmm. I'm right now getting from the celestial team to tell the listeners that the minute they decided to listen to this, I'd written something on a post saying, and if you want answers to questions, just say so, because your guides will be there and answer them. So there's no separation. All we have to do is tune in to the frequencies and receive the information. What the celestials do not prefer now is for us to see them as separate. Mm-hmm. That's why they've had me do talking for the past year, much of a time. And then they just, I mean, I can just see them. They listen to how I transmit, right, what's going on. And they're always braided with me a little, and they'll make corrections, of course, and they love to come through just because they love to. But it's more important now for us to realize that what we channel is ourselves. It's our information. Mm-hmm. And that's the new human. That's the new parent. That's unity consciousness, you see. Mm-hmm. So what they say they can do for us is encourage us to recognize that we hear them within ourselves, that we're the power point on this planet. We're the humans here. We're the ones who are taking the actions. And we are plugged in to everything we've ever known and are. And what it's all made of is love.
Love is
which, from our perspective, is hard to see. Just like you could look at the color muddy brown and say, well, that sure doesn't look the same as shimmering pink to me. And yet it's a different perspective. That's all.
Yes, a different frequency.
Yes. So it's really coming into recognizing that there is no up there or down here. We're as out there as they are. Mm-hmm. We're all literally in this together, in this interconnected, very, very, it's got substance even, web of energy that we live in. Just like you said at the beginning of the show, I was appreciative of what you said, Martin, when you said, okay, we're something about plugging in all over the globe and we're all here.
Yes, indeed.
Right now, all together.
Yes, because this radio transmission is not only words that can be analyzed by the brain, by the listener. It is also an energy that is being spread all over the globe and also connected to the dimensions that are around Gaia. And also the galactics can pick up those energies from our conversation, which is 80% telepathic. Mm-hmm. And 20% words that are spoken.
And let's not forget that the whole transmission, this whole conversation, how is it even possible? It's wavelengths, it's frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Literally, we are communicating through frequencies right now.
Correct.
Or it couldn't happen.
And we are all intermingled. We are all connected energetically. And
yeah.
The fiber optics and all the copper wires, all the Ethernet cables, all the Wi-Fis are all connected with the same energy that we are transmitting.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah. Now, you see, that you can see that that's mind-boggling. I mean, to the third dimensional operating system part of the brain, that's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
So it we can't perceive it.
There is a book.
That operating system. It's going to just tune it out.
Oh, yes. There's a book called Entangled Minds, written by Dean Wedding. And Dean Wedding appeared, I think, in What Bleep Do We Know. And very soon on BBS Radio, we'll have one of the founders of the What Bleep Do We Know mind-blocking documentary. Because Dean Wedding wrote this book, Entangled Minds, saying and proving scientifically that by looking at frequencies in quantum fields, and quantum particles, everything is connected.
Yep. You see, basically it's physics.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a shift that's happened is people, it's physics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, back in 1918, Max Planck, the mm-hmm. first physicist who developed who went into the perceptual quantum field and developed quantum theory. He won a Nobel Prize for it. Mm-hmm. And what he said back then is that it became obvious that matter is derivative of consciousness. Right? They've been doing experiments ever since to prove it. So, mm-hmm. people who think those are woo-woo ideas, well, all of a sudden they're the woo-woo ones.
Oh, yes.
It's physics, you know?
It is.
Yeah. It's our physics.
It is our reality, and our reality is constructed of frequencies, and physical matter is stored energy. So when certain frequencies resonate and when the waves, the standing waves, are interfering with each other, it's called interference, then particles are bilocating, or they are at the same location all the time, and that's physical matter. Now our bodies, I wondered when I was 13 years old, I was laying down in my bed. No, I was 15 years old, back in 1992. And I was asking myself, where is my soul connecting to my physical body? How does it work? Where am I etherical and where am I physical? And I was right. I was wondering about those questions.
Yeah.
And now I understand that there is no certain location in your body or your organs or your spine or whatever that is connecting to spirit. It is every cell, every atom in your body is conscious and is connecting to the higher dimensions.
Yeah. I know, you're right about the soul. I used to wonder that myself. And then I thought, and then I'd hear, as a therapist, all of this stuff about the self, you know, myself, what, being true to myself. And then I go, well, where is myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is that? Where is that me?
Those are key questions, very interesting questions to think about. And
well, they are, mm-hmm. you know. Indeed, they are. Because when you, well, if you think about them, well, the brain isn't going to, the brain's probably going to distract you with your to-do list for the day. But, you know, when you delve into that, that's when you enter the paradox.
Exactly. By the way, I started to think with my being. So with my, not only with my brain, but I, the last couple of years, I am more and more trying to, not only trying to, I'm just doing. When I think with my energetic body, with my soul, with my oversoul, with my higher self, with my brain, and it's all synchronized.
Uh-huh.
There's not just thinking with the brain. Because the brain is being instructed by our higher self, by our soul or spirit.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the brain is an operating system that we designed
mm-hmm.
to keep us focused in third dimensional, quote unquote, reality. That's the brain's job. It has done the third dimensional part of the brain. It has done a fabulous job of doing that. We can't ask it then to stop doing that. What we can do is release it from that limited role into our greater mind, just like we actually are integrating our whole energy wiring system now. That's my latest amazement, because I've been doing these new energy telegatherings for people. The last one, which is going to be this Sunday, the 24th, and there are recordings available. But in the last one, it was like we had to integrate the opposites that are wired into our own energy system. Meaning, do you want me to go on? Is this relevant? Does this feel interesting to you?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
Please go on.
I just wanted to make sure it didn't feel like a tangent or something to you. It's our lower, from our perceptual range, right? We have this, the sense of chakras that run from the root chakra, you know, down at the base of our spine to the crown. Okay. That's how we perceive it. It's linear. That's That's adequate. That's perfect. Okay. But the lower three are the ones we've been using to perceive and respond with and through in the third dimension, you see. Those are the ones that have been the focus of our navigating reality. The first being the root chakra, which is survival-based. It was very important for a very long time. The second being our emotional, creative, sexual center. The second one up, which is a beautiful color when I see it, of varying shades of orange. Now, this is something interesting. It's the emotional / creative / sexual center. At first, that sounds, whoa, that's got a lot of jobs. No, it doesn't. Our emotions are what we've used to amplify our intentions, our frequencies, emotions. Very human, very earthbound, very survival-based. That's how we that's what we've used to create. Our sexuality was used to procreate, right? So they're all in there. And then the third chakra being, that was the egoic I am. It is a magnificent I am. I used that I am to heal myself before, because I didn't, when I healed myself, I didn't know about all this. I used that I am. Man, it worked. It worked. But it's rooted in survival, which is how I used it to survive. And so we've got that going on, which keeps us here and functioning here and running our treadmills and feeling the same emotions. And then the upper, start with the throat, right? Which is how we communicate the upper awarenesses from the other two out into the world. Now that, I'll tell you, in my case, had a chastity belt of silence on it, mm-hmm. when I was born. Because we have many, many past lives, those of us who are intuitive, of being persecuted, right? But that is where we communicate the multidimensional truths that we know. And the third eye, the pineal gland, it's interesting. For a long time, they didn't think it had any purpose. They couldn't figure it out, just like all those junk strands of DNA. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's nestled right in between the right and left hemisphere of the brain, right? So that's where we perceive much of that which is not earthbound, survival-based. And then, of course, there's the crown, which is where we tune into source energy, constantly love energy, constantly flooding through us. But you see, we've had that split in us. And what the center point now, I'm discovering, because we're integrating opposites, so the center point is always the point of paradox, mm-hmm. where there's that opposite and this opposite, and they meet. And then, that's when the whole idea of opposites split open. That's when you see that there's, say, metaphorically with a coin, there's heads. And there's tails, the opposites. That's in the center where you see the coin. And that is our heart center. And that is where we can now integrate our lower chakras and our upper chakras, our earthly sensibilities and our celestial knowing together, because the Earth now is a multidimensional high frequency being.
It is.
And as we integrate through the heart center, that is when that happens, we become the new humans you've heard about. It's us. And that's where we do it. In other words, like the Hopi elders said, we are the ones we've been waiting for. And we are right here, right now, to step into. Now is when we choose.
It is our choice to ascend.
And yes, but you know, even that is interesting, that our words, the words we use, Martin, are from the third dimension of linearity and separation. My personal experience of ascension is not ascending. I would call that word obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Obsolete. It is about expanding beyond the limitations of our perceptual range. That's a choice. Mm-hmm. It is a choice. But I also see, again, going back to, well, we only know what we know or what we think we know. Some people can hear that it's a choice and go, say, well, yeah, right. All they know, the only choices they know are the ones they're entrained to, right? So it's that choice point. That's the point of paradox. That's the magic. You almost have to experience it. You almost have to have something happen that you allow to extend you beyond what you perceive you know. And that's why I was excited to present that exercise about the heart center, because as people did it in the telegathering, they were able to. That's what I'm always after now, is that magical alchemical place where somehow people get it, that these opposites aren't opposites.
No, they're that's the reality.
The extreme variation of one gestalt.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Beautifully said, by the way.
Thank you.
That was phrased like, it is true for me, it resonates what you say, because Judith, we are the integrated part of ourself. We are one with creation, and we are one with our physical body. We are one being, one gestalt.
The whole universe is one. It is all interconnected. I mean, when I get images of this, it's like all these little separate, perfect, tiny little slices and colors and flashes all weaving together. And at when one moves, they all move.
Mm-hmm. When one is hurt, all are hurt. When one is harmed, all are harmed. When one is healed, all are healed.
Yes.
And that's referring to Tara and Rama, who have a program on Friday, and I believe also on Thursday on BBS Radio. They are my colleagues. They make a beautiful program. Then there's James Gilliland. I believe Patricia Corey isn't airing anymore, but there's still the archive on BBS.
Yeah, well, she worked with the Syrian energy in Egypt, yes.
Yes.
And the Syrians were very... The sixth dimensional Syrians are, there's a collective that's part of the celestial team.
Mm-hmm.
They call themselves the frequency technicians.
Beautiful.
They helped with the creation of the pyramids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
I'm going to meet Patricia this summer in the UK, where I will do my annual research into the crop circles. And that is a wonderful thing I'm looking forward to. And I will continue. Well, I will be there for about 11 days. But last year I was there for a full month and I just did my radio show on BBS and Finding Voices while I was there, because it doesn't matter where I am. Whenever I have an internet connection and I carry my laptop with me, I can do a radio show and I love it.
It's beautiful the way the internet is demonstrating our own internal technology and reality, that we are all connected. Yeah. All of our external technology shows us. It is reflections of our own internal technology. We could not possibly create it otherwise.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true. And I love that too. You know, I love that we can use, and this is the truth now. It's like, we don't have to wonder, well, how do I integrate, you know, past lives and all the dramas I participated in off world when I wasn't in a life? And it's all here now. What activates us now,
yes,
in this life, it will probably be the smallest pattern necessary to hook us in with all the others. So if we deal with our own activations and our own process as they come to us, mm-hmm, right here, right now, it just moves out and rearranges all the other ones as well. That is amazing technology. I can say what we used to call miracles is really our energetic technology. We just didn't know it.
Exactly. And all the scientists like Nikola Tesla, Einstein, all the inventions they did came from their spirit.
Everything innovative, everything new.
Yes.
Obviously does not come from the old. It's new. And Einstein, you just made me smile mentioning him. I've actually channeled him a few times and did a video once about his E equals MC2 theory. And he just came through with his feelings about it. He is so dear. And he had a really hard time with quantum physics at first. Because,
I've had a vision about Einstein. It's a bit spooky. Back in 1992, I had it's very strange. I don't know what happened after he passed away. But I had a vision that they kept his brain alive artificially with some kind of device. So I don't know if this is true.
And for what purpose? And who are they?
Well, some scientists with not such, let's say, benevolent ideas. I saw his head. His head was chopped off, and they connected fiber optics and other devices to his brain and to his spine and his nervous system, and they were trying to keep his brain alive.
Did they?
I don't know. It just.
He never mentioned anything about that to me.
Okay.
His brain was you know, probably not part of his connection with me anyway.
No, because it's his oversoul, it's his energy. Because he left his physical body when he died. And they believe, because those scientists, you know, mainstream scientists believe that's their religion. They believe only in the physical existence of matter. But speaking about
technology, how could that be true if they were trying to save the brain the frequencies of a brain of a man that died.
I don't know.
That in itself is illogical.
It is illogical. And by the way, when you speak about technology, unbelievable technology, here is somebody who said it in this way.
Unbelievable technology. Unbelievable technology. Unbelievable technology.
That was Mr. Spock.
Uh-huh.
And Leonard...
That's so cute. I mean, that was so cute that you did that.
Yes, he was just such a very interesting human. And
you don't think that wasn't channeled, do you?
I believe Star Trek was channeled by Gene.
How could it not have been?
How could it not have been? Listen to this one.
Humans make illogical decisions. Humans... Logical decisions. Humans make illogical decisions. Human.
You know, his voice, there's something about
it. I have all these, what, like, lined up? I love this.
Yeah, I have.
I think you have them saved and you press them when they're relevant?
Yes, I have a couple of them. But Leonard Nimoy was, I think, a starseed. He was conscious and... When you listen to the color of the sound of his voice, because sound has a color, there's something about his voice. He was just galactic. And that made Star Trek successful. Because he was aware. He was cosmically aware, for sure.
I don't know him personally. So I don't know or what he'd even say he was aware of. Well, but obviously, if he could play these parts and he had a ball playing them,
Well, the whole thing is that when I look at his energy radiation, when I see him in the series, but also Captain Picard, Patrick Stewart, and all the actors in The Next Generation, when I look at those expressions, especially Wesley Crusher, the son of Dr. Crusher, this guy, this charisma he has, the charisma Captain Picard has, and Commander Data, they're all starseeds. Those actors... weren't chosen for, I mean, they were chosen for a reason to play in Star Trek, because they had the charisma to show us the future, that we will become galactic humans.
Right, which the casting directors probably weren't even conscious of. And the other point, though, Martin,
is that Gene Roddenberry was choosing them in the beginning, and Gene Roddenberry, of course, as a starseed, and because the whole script of the episodes, everything in Star Trek, because they speak about the Federation of Planets. Well, that means the Galactic Federation of Light, of course.
Well, there's a Galactic Federation. Yeah.
Mm, of course.
And there are many who are in it from various star systems who are also here.
Exactly.
It's almost like the idea of celestials helping us or ETs coming. They're already among us.
We are the ETs.
Yeah. And how could we not be ETs? Look, from another planet or star system, we're ETs.
Of course. But we are visitors.
Now, there's a point of paradox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone from a collective from Orion looks at you, Martin, and goes, oh, look at that E.T., and you look at him and go, oh, look at that E.T., right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all in it. It's a bigger picture than that.
There's another way of saying it. It's like saying the prime creator, as the Pleiadians call it, prime creator, it created many worlds and many beings, infinite amount of beings in all types and forms. And the creator is experiencing his creation or her creation through.
We are source experiencing itself.
Exactly.
It's like imagine being this shimmering white light and then having aspects of you all over reflecting variations of it back to you.
Exactly. There's zillions of experiences and lessons we can learn in many different places and dimensions and lifetimes. Because I believe everything in creation is about learning and coming back to source and saying, this is what I learned, and then assign the next task to incarnate wherever.
But again, I don't think it's coming back to or being assigned. I don't think it's that like that. Okay. I think source experiences source the minute we create our creations, and then through our creations and what we have expanded into, we simply expand into, we morph into that expression.
Yeah, because we feed back all our lessons into the collective.
Yeah, everything. That's why the telegatherings I do, your radio show, everyone who listens is like a little point that comes alive, like a wave that becomes a particle in quantum terms. Mm-hmm. And then our energy is like a stream that goes to them and to everyone else, and then sets an energy template of what it is, the frequencies of what we're discussing for everybody mm-hmm. to tune into or not, if and when they choose. It's a constant interflowing dynamic.
Exactly.
The other thing that you raised that I'm getting to address is this idea of, you know, they doing this and what they do and that it's for malevolent intent. And I am not denying anything that anybody could tell me is happening, or conspiracy theorists or anything. There's no way I'd say, well, that's not happening. Because if you're thinking it, obviously it's happening.
Yes.
And the more you think it, the more you amplify it.
Correct.
And make it happening more. But yes. the thing is that we are the choice point of what we wish to resonate with. And what we resonate with then becomes amplified.
Mm.
And that, more that, real.
Yeah, this is
important. We are the choice point.
Yes, yes, yes.
Those are reflections of possibilities for this human race,
mm-hmm.
which also then in turn reflect things that have happened in the galaxy. It's not been fun and games out there all this time, you know. That's one of the reasons we're here, is to integrate all of that, which is a whole other interesting topic of how and why we can do that. But what we choose to focus on, well, that's our frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to take responsibility for that. Is this what I choose to amplify as truth?
That what you said in the last 3 minutes is crucial, Judith, because energy flows where attention goes. If we focus on a better world and love and creativity and cooperation, then this will be the reality. If we focus on the darker pole and negativity, then this is what we are creating. So we
exactly.
focus.
That's right.
We must.
The focus. Thing is, though, we create it in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and we are. Consciousness is powerful. I mean, I could right now like take some time to inform listeners of certain studies and experiments that have been researched by quantum scientists to prove such things as entanglement and non-locality and what sweet Einstein would call spooky action at a distance. It was so cute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the now, in the moment.
It is always now, and it is the choice of focus. Where do you focus on? Energy flows where attention goes.
It is the choice of where we choose.
Yes.
How we choose to experience being alive on this yes. planet, which is quite, it's amazing mm-hmm. in itself that we are, and more than a gift. But that we're here right now. How do I wish to experience this now? Through our frequencies, we can choose. And then that choice, then, is the longer we hold it, builds momentum, like energy, momentum, because we're pulsing and pulsing and pulsing. And the more we do that, the more we start to see reflections around us of that choice. We humans, I would call it falling off the wagon. I would say that's actually a pretty good metaphor. We fall off that wagon often, you know, and fall down into the sludge of repeating like what we thought we knew in our old stories. Fine, but then just reset. The more we do that, the more facile we become. Mm. And the more then we start to change reality itself.
Beautifully said.
I can sit here right now, Martin, and listen to you. Now, let's see. What could I come up with? Well, oh, my God, I'm on the radio, and I don't know what I'll say next. And, oh, isn't this uncomfortable? And what if I don't say what I should say? And then be in a state or in, like, a flip. I can switch into, isn't this wonderful that Martin wants to engage with me? And I have no idea what I'll say. And isn't it wonderful that we're creating it together? And that feels so different. And it's that easy.
Yes. Judith, do you have time this Saturday at 4 p.m.? Because we have to sign off here, because there will be a program after this at the top of the hour, and we need to prepare for it. So when you have time on Saturday, we can have a 2-hour conversation with Jeroen, my colleague on Finding Forces Radio, and continue this conversation.
On what radio, Mark?
FindingVoicesRadio.com on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Finding
Voices Radio.
You got to email this to me.
I will email it to you.
But it's at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes, this Saturday. We can have a 2-hour discussion with Jeroen, you and me, or dialogue, actually, to continue this beautiful conversation. I want to thank you, Judith. Your website is thecelestialteam.com, right?
Thecelestialteam.com. I have one for people who don't feel quite that celestial yet. That's Jude, what is it? WordPress.JudithDagley.com, and our YouTube channel is from the Celestial Team.
Beautiful. My dear friends, thank you for listening. Don't forget to donate on my donate button here on this radio station, bbsradio.com. Thank you, Judith, for being here, and much love and light to all the listeners, and until next week.